everybody. This is Pam coming to you from the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which you can find on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering, and it's also freely downloadable on iTunes. Today I'm really excited to have yet another amazing woman to chat with and talk about all things stuttering and other things. So I want to say hey to Sam. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Pam. I'm really excited to be here.
Me too. I can't wait to hear a little bit about your story. But first, can you introduce yourself to us and tell us who you are and where you're from and what you do and all that stuff?
Sure, I'd love to. Hey, everybody. My name is Sam. I actually just graduated from grad school, so I'm at a really cool, fun, scary part of life, and I'm from New Jersey, and I hope to soon live in the city once I get a job in my field, which I'll talk about later.
All right, great. And where did you go to school?
I went to BU for my master's, and I went to NYU for undergrad, which explains my whole love for New York City.
Great. Now, BU is Boston University?
Yeah, Boston, which is interesting. Being a Yankee fan, I didn't know what I was in for.
Oh, but Yeah, I used to vacation periodically in New Hampshire over in Hampton Beach, and one time I made the mistake of wearing my Yankees t-shirt and baseball cap, and yeah, I got a lot of looks and a lot of comments.
That's funny. I went to one game, and it was the Yankee-Red Sox game, and we didn't even wear Yankee gear, but mm-hmm. the people that did were just getting ruthlessly, made fun of.
I'm sure. The Yankees in Boston play this weekend coming up, August 7th, 8th, and 9th. I figured I'd put the date in because I don't know when I'm actually going to post this episode, but that should be fun.
Yeah, definitely. I probably won't be there to actually see it, but I'll catch it on TV.
Yeah, me too. It seems like that's always better view anyway. So, how long have you been stuttering? Like ever since you could talk, or when did you start?
My stuttering is unique, I think, because everyone else that I've heard speak at either the NSA conferences or American Institute for Stuttering, which is where I went, the majority of people who I've met have stuttered since they could talk, and I don't remember stuttering my whole life. I basically remember stuttering starting in like third grade, maybe second grade, but like second, third, and it kind of goes in and out of memory. Like I may have stopped for a year or so and started again, but it was definitely here to stay come middle school. Mm-hmm. So that's my memory of it. It's a little bit foggy.
Yeah.
I got therapy as a kid that what was probably not the most effective therapy now that I know what effective therapy looks like. The most effective therapy I got was when I was 15 years old. My mom found the American Institute for Stuttering in New York, and my mom worked in the city at the time, so I was already pretty familiar with going in with her, and I really liked my experiences in New York, so I wasn't excited about the program, but I was excited to go to the city every day, so I agreed to go, and that was definitely the most effective, both in terms of skills, techniques physically, and, you know, psychologically, which a lot of programs, I think, neglect. Yeah, it's interesting because that program actually didn't always address psychological issues surrounding stuttering. In the 80s, when Catherine Montgomery started it, it didn't encompass that stuff. It was solely physical tools. But as time went by, she incorporated a more desensitizing approach to it. And that was a big part of what I got out of it, because obviously I still stutter a good amount. It's just a matter of how much you're willing to practice those tools. And that's not to say that if you practice, you'll never stutter, because that's not the case. But I could achieve pretty high levels of fluency when I'm really practicing all the time. It's just not something I've chosen to do recently.
Why?
What was that? I'm sorry.
I mean, why? Is it harder to use techniques, or and it's easier to stutter, or is there a particular reason?
That's a tough one. I when I practice just a little bit, I find a difference. But in situations like this, I feel like I can stutter all I want, and it's no big deal. So I don't really turn on my skills, if you will. But when I say I have an interview or something, I'll definitely practice more than I would normally. But the thing with me is that it's tough to do both. It's tough for me to practice and be fluent and also be okay with stuttering, if that makes sense. It's like if I'm okay, completely okay with my stuttering, then why would I practice? And that's solely my viewpoint. It's not that one is right or wrong. It's just with me, it's like if I'm going to stutter, I'm not going to practice. Or if I practice, it's because I feel like stuttering is not acceptable in certain situations. And I know that that's, you know, not always the most positive outlook, but it's something I'm trying to work on.
Right, right. Now, when you say that you practice techniques, what were you taught at the AIS?
We did a lot of focus on breathing, four-part breathing, making sure you exhale and making sure that you're breathing with your diaphragm and not piling in air, so that when you do start to produce sound, your vocal folds are open and there's minimal tension with the correct breathing format. And then to actually produce sound, we did stuttering modification, which I use all the time since it's pretty much ingrained in my mind right now. Excuse me. Prolongations, easy onsets, pullouts, voluntary stuttering. I just did a whole bunch of them in that sentence. And if I hadn't, I would have gotten into much more severe blocks. And then fluency shaping is the real, the majority of the physical skills comes down to fluency shaping, which is the just overall syncing your breathing with production of sound and keeping your vocal folds open and producing the sound in a contoured way, from soft vibrations to more intense and back to soft, and that produces fluency. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not a speech pathologist, so I'm sure I'm not explaining it as well as one could, but that's like my lay person explanation of how it works.
Actually, that's pretty good. I was guessing that you probably had practiced fluency shaping there at AIS. I just wasn't sure because I didn't do that. I did fluency shaping for a while, and interestingly, I kind of maybe feel a little bit the same way as you do. I was covert for many years, And when I finally had my defining moment and decided to seek therapy, what I found was that by having somebody teach me to try to be fluent, I felt that that was just making me more covert. And I really had a conflict with it, because what I really needed to work on was, just like you said, the acceptance part and being okay with, you know, stuttering freely and just letting this part of me out. So I'm not in any therapy right now either, because I just feel like I just need to be who I am, and I'm okay with that most of the time.
That's awesome. I mean, it's weird. I still consider myself in therapy, but that's just because it's an ongoing process and it will be my whole life. I mean, I'm never going to be cured of stuttering.
Right.
None of us are. I mean, some people don't like to hear that, but it's not the end of the world. If you can accept that, I think that's a big step. And I still go for sessions with the therapists there. And really, it's more of a psychological thing, if anything. I mean, I know all the tools. It's not like I'm going there to relearn physical tools. I'm going there to talk about maybe why I've not been using them, you know, why it's okay not to use them. Mm-hmm. What are some good ways to talk about my stuttering with new people, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good segue. How do you do that? How do you talk about stuttering with somebody that you've just met?
I have a pretty good gauge for how people are going to be from their first reaction to me stuttering. And I talked about this at the workshop I gave on fearless stuttering at the NSA conference this year, National Stuttering Association. And I said, you know, there are two kinds of people for us in this world. There are people that are cool with it, stuttering, and those that aren't. And the ones that aren't, they break down into a couple of categories why they're not okay with it, but it doesn't really matter. They either are or they're not. Sometimes the ones that aren't, you can still kind of explain it to them, and then they're like, oh, okay, and they kind of get it. But mainly with people that I feel like I just met, and I feel like I've been stuttering a good amount with them, and they've not, you know, looked at me weird or asked me if I forgot my name or any of that nonsense that we deal with on a regular basis, I'll find a way to bring it up, either through talking about my involvement with the NSA, or, you know, this is why I love New York. Ever since I was 15, I've been coming here by myself. Oh, why? Oh, well, you probably noticed that I stutter. It was actually for speech therapy. Like, there are just tons of ways to, like, bring that up. But it's not always necessary with people that I feel good with.
Yeah.
The ones that I don't feel so good with, that's more difficult. Like, that will be when I'm introducing myself and, you know, they cut you off while you're blocking and, you know, ask you, you know, what's your deal? Or, like, did you forget your name? And usually I just say, no, actually I stutter. And they'll either be like, oh, I'm sorry. Or they'll be like, no, like, really? And I'm like, really? I stutter. I go to therapy for it. And then they feel bad. So
yeah.
I don't know. It's like a battle.
Yeah. How does it, I was just kind of like thinking as you were speaking, and then I had like three questions pop into my head, and like, I just totally like forgot two of them.
Did you write them down?
do you think stuttering affects you as a woman?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like, okay.
Big question.
It's tough. okay, I don't want to, like, offend anyone when I say this, but this is just my personal opinion. It's not the sexiest thing in the world, in my opinion. So it's tough to feel sexy when you're stuttering. But in my experience, talking about it, you know, men don't care. And the whole thing about feeling equal to men in the workplace and whatnot, you know, that's just a question of being a good communicator in general. Like, a man is, I mean, other, well, men or other people or whomever aren't going to respect you as much if you're not a good communicator, period. It doesn't have to do with stuttering necessarily. Because I know a lot of stutterers, you in particular, that are 10 times as articulate as people that I know who don't stutter. So it's definitely a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just always curious about the whole how does it feel to be a woman who stutters thing, because I've heard and observed from lots of women that that you put it interestingly, like, it's not sexy, but I've also heard women describe feelings of their self-worth being tied into stuttering, and feeling, you know, less than adequate because we're traditionally the caregivers and the nurturers, and we're typically in those roles. And some women, I think, when they feel like they're stuttering and they're not being effective communicators in their mind, I think somehow women feel like they've failed more than maybe men who also stutter. So I was just curious what your thought was.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you just said. I also think that, because I was also an anthropology and gender studies minor in undergrad, so I have a lot of thoughts about, you know, men and women's roles in society. But I feel like men have been brought up overall, this isn't all men obviously, but overall they've been brought up to, you know, deal with issues. Like, it's more acceptable to have to apologize for something than it is for a woman, I feel like. And I feel like maybe men would disagree because of their egos, but I feel like it's easier, it's more expected for a guy to be confident,
yeah,
than it is for a woman. So for a man to be confident enough to say that he stutters, that's in their mind, that's probably more, you know, acceptable of a thing to do. Whereas with women, I feel like we have all this other stuff going against us, whether or not it's, you know, everyone realizes it or not, it's just the way it is, you know, glass ceilings or whatever. And if a woman who stutters doesn't stand up for herself, it's easier for ignorant people to see that as a weakness as than it would be for them to see a man as weak, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense, because I think women sometimes have, you know, struggle with confidence anyway, and to, you know, couple stuttering with it and the fact that we're a minority within a minority, there's just so far fewer, you know, women who stutter, so our voice is not always heard.
So, yeah. And I just thought of, oh, sorry, I thought of something else, but continue.
No, that's okay. I finished my thought or lost it again.
Okay. Do you watch the show Mad Men ever?
No, never even heard of it.
Oh, okay. It's a well, really quick. It's just about the advertising business in the early 60s, and what it does is it puts the social dynamics between men and women into a current context, and you just see how different it was, and how, men really thought that they were more valuable than women, both in the workplace and whatnot. And, they tell their secretaries to dress sexier because it'll get them farther and all this stuff. And it really portrays women as back then as, sweet and cute and all, oh, that's nice that she, tried that or tried to do that. And a lot of the people that I've spoke to about stuttering, men actually, have said, oh, girls think it's cute. And I find that interesting because it's almost like, well, for a girl to think that a guy stuttering is cute is one thing, but I've also heard girls say, "Oh, guys say it's cute," and I don't think that that's the most flattering thing given where we've come from in terms of what's cute and what's, and what's not. If it does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, and that's actually a good point because I've heard that sometimes too, that women think that it's more acceptable for men to stutter, and it is cute because it shows their vulnerable side. Yeah, but whereas when women who stutter show that. There's, it makes us look weak to be vulnerable. So,
Exactly.
yeah. I don't get that. But in some ways, I think not all of that has changed from the 60s to now.
I also think that, men, I don't think that men are thrilled to seem vulnerable. I mean, yeah, women think it's great because they never let their guard down, but I don't think men like that in the least. So I'd love to hear what they say about this whole conversation.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think that men, want to be perceived as strong and confident and, capable of no wrong. And yeah, that would be very interesting to hear men's feedback. And something tells me that we will anyway. Yes. So I'm intrigued now. I mean, you obviously have done a lot of a lot of research about stuttering and about your own stuttering, and it's fascinating to hear the that you studied anthropology and gender differences in undergrad. So what did you do in graduate school?
Well, I said to myself, what industry will I have to talk the most? I want to be in that one. No, that's not at all what I did, but that is what I ended up in. I got my master's in mass communication,
Wow.
ironically enough. And what it's really just a general mass media concentration that can allow me to do pretty much anything that has to do with media, be it music or advertising or PR, which I definitely don't want to do, or I mean, really, and anything, media buying, brand management. So basically, it's really allowed me to incorporate what's fun for me into what I do as a career, which interestingly enough was why I had been looking into going back to school for speech pathology, because I had such a great time being involved with AIS and the NSA, that I thought about pursuing that as a career. And after a while, I just decided that that was too much of a way out. It was an easy way out for me. And I do respect a lot of the people that I know who have either changed industries or confronted their stuttering to become speech pathologists, but I feel like I didn't need to become one to confront my stuttering or to be involved. I feel like this will always be a part of my life. I'm crazy in love with music. I have to go after that industry and not just rely on something I know I'll be good at and I know I'll always be allowed to stutter in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. And yeah, I like the way that you put that. Like you saw that as like a way out, like the easy route to a career. And that's an interesting approach. I'm sure that some people will disagree with that as well.
I'm sure I've just offended about 17 of my best friends by saying that.
But, you know, it's really interesting because I never realized until my own involvement with self-help, I never realized how many people who stutter actually do become SLPs. It's like, I never even would have dreamed of it when I was younger. And now you go to an NSA or a friend's conference and they're like all over the place. And it's just really interesting how, you know, the one thing that we struggle with is what appears to be, you know, a good career track for a lot of people.
And, you know, I'm sorry to cut you off. I just got a thought. an interesting thing, too, is that it's not necessarily an easy way out for everyone, because some of my friends have told me that they feel almost inadequate because they feel like they should be able to be fluent if they expect people to give them money to essentially generate fluency. And that's a tough battle to, you know, be able to convey to parents and adults who stutter that, you know, fluency isn't necessarily the goal here. Like, it can be a goal, but it can't be the only goal because that will never work.
Right. Wow. Like, yeah, wow. You really got a good head on your
site.
yeah, you got a lot of
NSA is it did something, right?
Yeah. How long have you been involved with the NSA?
Well, I'm 24 now, and I've been going to the NSA conferences since I was 16, the year after I did my AIS program. So I have kind of two stuttering worlds.
Yeah.
It's been interesting because, as you know, not everyone at the NSA has had effective therapy or knows, you know, where to go or wants to be fluent. And I feel like I, even though I still stutter, I have physical tools that have been so ingrained in my mind that I would stutter a lot more. And there are times when, if I really want to, I can slow my speech down just a little bit and stutter significantly less.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I've been doing this for so long, you know, how long now? 8, 9 years it'll have been since I did the American Institute for Stuttering, that I can reach back and get those tools and be pretty fluent. And, you know, I was a covert stutterer too, so if I want, I can just not stutter at all and trick everyone.
Right.
So as can you, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I the more open I am these days with stuttering freely, the harder it is actually to go back to the covert behaviors.
Yeah, it's hard to think of all those words like you once did, right?
Exactly, exactly. And it just takes so much more energy to do that than it does to just, you know, stutter freely.
But exactly.
And I did want to say though, you know, whether you're using techniques a little bit now or whether you're just stuttering freely yourself, you do sound really comfortable with Sam, and you sound at ease and relaxed and you're just really poised and
thanks.
Yeah. It's nice you're
to hear.
you're a really comfortable communicator, and you're right. A lot of people mistake or equate communication with fluency, and it's two totally different concepts. And you know, I think that it's we who stutter that are the ones that can teach people that it's two different things. You know?
Definitely. Yeah. I remember girls in high school saying that I seemed really confident. And I think I was just a good actress, but I get what they're saying, though, because, you know, to be able to be open about stuttering is a little bit of confidence in itself, just because it's like, you know, it's like, oh, your biggest insecurity ever, here, wear it on your sleeve. It's like, yeah. But it's good. A friend of mine recently shed some light on this, and I was really appreciative that he put it this way. He said, we already got all of our, like, issues out of the way, you know, like with this. Not everyone is so lucky to have the outlets that we do to be able to deal with this and, you know, deal with, and this is our, for most of us, our biggest issue. So in some ways I feel a little lucky.
Yeah, no, because that's true. I mean, as soon as, you know, it seems like as soon as people who stutter, you know, find the stuttering community and find, you know, support or therapy, you know, it is always there. And this itself, you know, Skype, being able to talk to other people who stutter, to me, is tremendously helpful as well, because you know that the person listening gets it. And you're right. I mean, people that are out there that, you know, have mental illness or, you know, autism or some of the very many other things, they don't always have the easily accessible support that we do, as long as we reach out and grab for it.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
I feel like I had 10 more things in my head, but I was listening, so they fell out.
Well, that's okay, because I actually, you know, I want to hear you said at the beginning that, like, you're at this, like, wonderful crossroads in your life at this point, dealing with change and, you know, dealing with, you know, really good things, but maybe a little scary, too, and, you know, I'm intrigued. So where are you at? What's your life unfolding at this point?
Well, I have to say that before I speak about it, I loved your workshop on change. It was really interesting to see something that is so applicable to stuttering be able to be used against a background of life in general and not just stuttering, because that workshop I was really able to apply to what's going on with me right now, which is basically the whole it's me wondering how much of, if I'm not able to get a job, if that's the state of the recession or if that stuttering or what. Mm-hmm. And that'll always be in the back of my mind, and it was around my first round of interviews, and I was able to get jobs, but I think that, I mean, I know I'm qualified for a lot of things right now. I don't have a lot of work experience, so I might have to start at entry level, and I get all that. But my only issue still that I'm working on is, you know, I'll never truly know if I didn't get that job because I wasn't qualified, or because no matter how confidently I tried to come across, that person may not think that I'm capable of doing the best job because I stutter. And there are also some times that, you know, I have to be honest with myself. When I see a job that says heavy phones, mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. Like, why? So I can spend the whole day, like, tense and, you know, stressing over the phone? Like, first of all, I don't want to be a receptionist. But at the same time, it's just, like, I know what I'm good at, and I'm not saying that I wouldn't take a job where I have to talk a lot, but that's fine. But I'm realistic. Like, I've never not done anything I don't want to do, but I know what I feel comfortable doing. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, in job, see, I'm a career counselor in a high school.
Oh, so great.
So, I mean, I spend a lot of time advising, you know, young people about, you know, putting your best foot forward, making a good impression, interview skills, blah, blah, blah. But it's different when you stutter, because you always have that, in my mind, it's like a dilemma. Do I or don't I? You know, do I or don't I tell them? So how do you handle that in interviews? Do you disclose your stuttering? Right up front, or do you try to be fluent and hope that it's not noticed?
See, I used to try to just go into it, and, you know, I'd stutter a little bit, and it maybe didn't matter, and I still was able to, you know, get my points across and all that. But the older I got, I realized that was futile. Like, there's no reason to do that, because I think even though there'll always be those people that are like, oh, it's no big deal, like, you didn't have to say that. You know, if you didn't say it, they'd be wondering what was going on, unless they had, like, a brother or sister or, you know, a best friend that stuttered, which is probably not the case.
Right.
They'd be wondering. So no matter what they say, it's always good, in my opinion, to be upfront about it. And I am. And my whole thing is that I say exactly what I want them to know. I don't say, oh, I just wanted to let you know that I stutter. I say, I like to let people know that I stutter when I do interviews, because it catches them off guard a lot of the time, and I explain why I'm telling them, so it doesn't just seem out of left field or make me think, oh, well, now they're wondering why I said that, blah, blah, blah. Just say exactly what and why you want them to know, and there's no reason for either of you to feel awkward.
Right. So given that you do say what you want to say and what you want them to know, and you're very open about it, in a circumstance where you're guessing or wondering if you didn't get the job because of stuttering, could you just come right out and ask them? I mean, would you have the courage to say, you know, did I not get the job because you think my stuttering would negatively impact my performance?
To be perfectly honest with you, I've never done that, because I don't believe that they would be honest with me. I don't believe that they would ever say, yes, that was why. Mm-hmm. Plus, I don't even think that they can legally say that.
Right.
But
it's against the law. Right. But I mean, right. you could tell, you know, by a person's reaction, like if they suddenly got evasive or, you know.
Oh, right. Well, normally you don't find out if you got the job, like, over the phone or in person. It's usually, like, through an email or something. Yeah. So it's a little difficult to ask, like, hit reply and be like, why? Is it because I stutter? Like, I don't think they'll say yes.
Yeah.
But I get that whole wanting to know, though.
Yeah. So now you said that music is your passion, so that's kind of what you want to do?
Well, yeah, I had two internships in LA this summer at the in the music industry. One was an online marketing company, very small, and the other was a music publishing company, which is cool because that sort of blends my interest for media placement overall. That can apply to anything. You know, you're placing songs and music in TV and film, but in media planning, you're placing ads in, you know, magazines and TV. So it applies to my major, but it also incorporates my love and knowledge of contemporary music.
Mm. Do you play any in instruments, or do you sing, or you know, anything like that?
I played the keyboard and piano too, obviously. Since I was about 7, I could just play by ear. I actually don't even read notes, but I've been playing by ear, and it was cool because it was always like really impressive to my classmates and stuff. And I was in a couple of talent shows, and it's also led me to only date musicians, which we all know what that's like. So, but
oh.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I love being in that scene.
Mm-hmm. So, since you brought it up, and our time is actually running out, because I mean, I can't believe how time flies when we're.
I know. It's been like 45 minutes.
Yeah. So. Have you dated a lot of musicians?
I honestly think I've only ever dated musicians, and I like them because they're a little quirky and weird like me, and they're very artistic, and I'm not sure what exactly it is, but they're always cool with stuttering. They fall into the cool category, yeah. As opposed to the not okay with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I just, you know, it's just, I think that whole being an artistic creative person, you're kind of open to stuff that may not necessarily be mainstream or normal, and you're used to maybe being a little bit of an outcast in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, actually, I think it's really cool to be different and kind of, you know, march to the beat of your own drum. I kind of do that myself a little bit. And, you know, it's okay because, you know, when you're unique, and because we stutter, we're unique, you know, it just makes us all the more interesting as people, you know?
Definitely.
Something else just popped into my head when you were talking about, you know, the categories of people that accept stuttering. You know, either they're really cool or they're not. I've heard people talk about stuttering can be like a social filter, and yeah. Like, you know, people that, you know, aren't cool with stuttering or don't get it, you don't really want to be friends with them anyway.
Right. Or it exposes people's insecurities, like people that feel the need to continue to like make jokes, even after I said I stutter, they're insecure themselves, I think, because they just don't know how to act and how to be sensitive. Mm-hmm. Like, it takes a lot for a person who doesn't stutter to be able to say, wow, that must be really hard. Like, that's a really big thing for someone to say, and that's, you know, that's special if someone can actually say that. But when they can't, it's very indicative of, you know, what their own issues and how uncomfortable they probably are dealing with, you know, a little bit of awkwardness, you know, like have some compassion.
Wow, it sounds like you're a really passionate person yourself, and well, just, you know, I just always find it really, you know, cool to talk with younger people that actually have had so much experience because of, you know, their ownership of their stuttering. And it's true that it makes us more compassionate, it makes us more insightful, and, you know, you're going to teach people around you to learn those lessons as well, because you're going to be a role model for them, whether you choose to do that, you know, deliberately or not. You are, just because of who you are and the way you are.
That's why I go to these conferences still. I feel like I don't really need the support so much as the teenagers do. And I swear, this past summer, I felt like I was literally talking to my 17-year-old self. I was, like, with a couple of the younger kids, mm-hmm. and there were a few girls my age when I started going, and I just was like, oh my god, I get to talk to my 17-year-old self. This is so cool.
Yeah.
And I just told them, like, how they can make their lives better, stuff I didn't know at the time.
That had to make you feel really good to be able to do that, huh?
Yeah, definitely. That's why I go. I mean, it's so great to know that because of something I said, they might, you know, do something that they didn't think that they could, or avoid that feeling of, like, utter worthlessness, yeah, that you don't need to feel.
Yeah. One of these years, we're going to have to get you to come to a friends conference as well.
I missed it.
Yeah, I've been involved with them for three years now, and it is pretty special to be an adult who stutters and go to, you know, a conference that's solely focused on the young people, and know that you can have an impact in some, you know, large or small way. It's in D.C. next year, which is, you know, a little closer for folks. So,
oh, sweet.
Yeah,
yeah, that's, yeah, good. I would love to go. I always thought it was, I don't know what I thought it was. I think I'm confusing it with ASHA, which is mainly speech pathologists.
Nope. Friends is for kids and teenagers who stutter and their parents primarily. And there are SLPs who go, but the focus is on the children and teenagers. And there was, like, this year there was about 10 adults who stutter, you know, so it's not, we're not going for us, we're going for them.
Oh, okay. I think, yeah, I knew them all. I think all my friends went.
Yeah, yeah. It was and I had a good opportunity to get to know some of those folks a little better too. So it was cool, and it's just nice to, just as you said, to be able to talk to young people and, you know, let them know that the future is bright, not hopeless, you know. And that's important.
Really?
Yeah. I cannot believe that we have talked as long as we have, and I feel like we've, like, barely scratched the surface.
I'll have to be on it again then.
Yes, absolutely, because I know there's definitely more things that we can talk about. But thank you so much for sharing and importantly, for just being so honest.
Thanks. Thank you for allowing me to share my experiences. It's great to be able to do this.
Yeah, thanks. And again, this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.